Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, last week I was at home in my living room, and I was dozing on the chair, on the couch, and I was dozing. My kids were watching some Bible stories, and then they were watching the story of how Jesus called Peter and the other fishermen. So they were watching it, and as I was dozing in the couch, then suddenly I saw Jesus, and the whole scene changed, and I was in the boat, and I was seeing Jesus at the shore, and he spoke out loud, and he said, and his voice was like a booming voice, he said, "Cast your net on the right and for a catch. And as soon as he said those words, now I was hearing him speaking from that side and a booming voice. But as soon as I heard him, then I heard him now speaking from within me. And he asked me a question. Have you ever stopped to imagine what would have happened if Simon Peter had not obeyed that simple command? Then suddenly it came to me that a whole chain of events would have been short-circuited just because Simon Peter refused to do something so simple, cast the net there. Now, simple, but some may be unique, because the reality is every fisherman knows you don't catch fish during the day. And so Peter knew, there is no point, casting the net, because during the day you don't catch fish. When you put your nets during the day, the fish can see them, and so they sail past them. That's why they fish at night. And then he has been out night throughout the night, and he hasn't caught any fish. And now during the day, when the fish can see the nets, somebody is telling him, cast your nets to there. He said, launch deep and cast your nets inside. So then, because I'd been thinking about, I'd been talking with somebody a lot earlier, and I was talking about somebody whom I know. There are very few people whom I've seen at once, and I know this person is called to be extremely wealthy. I can just say maybe there are like two only, and he's one of them. But I saw him like that 10 years ago. The first time I saw him, he came to my office there at Renzori Towers, and I looked at him and I could just see somebody who is called. You know, there are levels of wealth people are called to. I looked at this person and I knew he's called to be up there, up there. 10 years later, nothing has changed. He's still in the same hustle. He's moving from here up to there. Nothing seems to be working out. And usually what happens is there are people who, if you do not have that level of financial anointing, you might settle for, But when something inside you is witnessing to you that you're supposed to be great, and yet you're even struggling to get something to eat, a meal, like you're really short-circuited. And every time I see him in that place. And I worry for him, because there's a time he told me, "I want to speak to you." So I thought that maybe this might be an opportunity to tell this person something. So I told him, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm in Entebbe." I knew he was in Entebbe because he stays there, but I knew he didn't have transport. So I knew I was not going to tell him to come and find me here. So I took the step of driving to Entebbe. Then I reached there and I sat and I told him, what do you want to speak to me about? Then I realized he was not ready to receive, because he started going in meandering like this and like this. At the end of the day, he ended up wanting some money. And I'm looking and saying, if you knew who you are, you know. So somebody was asking me about that same person. I said, what's wrong? Because they can come and tell you big, big, big things. And if you told me those things, I would just tell you, get lost, find a life. You're lying yourself. But if he tells me, I'm talking about things in billions. For him, if he tells me, I can believe anything. Because I can see the anointing. But you see, it's all based on speculation. It's not based on something tangible right now. But he can move away from speculation to tangible. And it is not that difficult. If only somebody... And I've had so many people saying, why don't you talk to him? But then I can't talk to somebody who is not ready to what? Who is not ready to be talked to. Because he sees you in a certain way and I cannot change that. But my point is this, which I'm trying to make. And I'm going to make it very fast. My point is that the way to the big things is the simple instructions. That's what the Lord was trying to communicate to me. Cast your net to the side. Very simple instruction. You don't obey it, you've short-circuited so many things which would have happened and they are not going to happen. Imagine now, Peter casts, then the fish, then what, then, you know, then the disciple, then everything. All everything is based on one simple instruction. Cast your net for a big catch. An instruction which does not even make any sense for somebody who is a professional. Now, if I was to... in school where somebody crammed something and then they bring something else. Eh? And then I'm sure you've heard those stories that if you had asked about the Ngoni, this is how I was going to answer it. Then you pour what? Because you had crammed the Ngoni. Now, if that guy had asked me, this is what I was going to tell him. Okay, let me do that. This is what I was going to tell him. The very small instruction, that is the path to big things. Like you are not, God is not going to give you a big instruction at the very first. They always start very small. Very small. And it is all based on, are you going to obey that small instruction? Just that. Do this. Simple instruction. Now somebody I was teaching about walking in abundance. And I said that, because of so many factors, growing up and so on, and you know, you've had all these struggles, it's a struggle to actually start thinking abundantly. So you have to like train your mind to think abundantly, not to think about lack, not to think about scarcity, not to think that your resources are running out, even if the Bible says running over. So those are things which look good in the scriptures. But you have to train your mind to think like that. And until you actually train, and now the easiest way of training your mind is by actually practicing. So I was saying now, start by asking the Lord, tell the Lord, teach me how to walk in abundance. Now, the Lord told that person a very simple instruction. Step one. Now here is the cast your net to the side. Step one. Now you think this is very simple and the Lord is, like, what does the Lord have to do? And that person came and told me this is what the Lord told me and I believed it because I know how it all starts. It all starts simple. Very simple instruction. You see, you know when you go to the toilet, okay? And there's that thing which they hang there, which they put in rolls of toilet paper, which are not in use. You know that kind of thing. Now, the first thing the Lord told that person at home is that make sure that roll is always full of toilet paper. The Lord said that? Yes. Because you see your mind, when you come, you have to train your mind like now, there is enough, there is a lot of, first of all, toilet paper. Amen? Then I was talking about that gentleman. I'm trying to connect to these things. I was talking about that gentleman with some people. And the guy told me, you know, this guy, for him, he thinks big things only. He does not want these deals of $1,000. He says that's a waste of time. I said he's never going to see the deals of the millions until he starts there. Like he's that's what they call lying yourself. Amen. You see, the mind wants you to start spectacularly. That is not how it works. It never works like that. Never works like that. You see people who have powerful healing ministries and people are getting healed and what? Let me tell you, they started by celebrating a headache which went. That is the law of life. Like you pray for somebody who had something small and they get healed, you behave as if they've just gotten healed of what? What's the word sickness? Stupidity. As if you've just healed stupidity. So now this person, I know that is the thing. I can tell him right now, there is an instruction, and I've kind of preached this before, but I felt I needed to do it again. That's why the Lord was bringing it back in such a spectacular form. Have you ever stopped to imagine what would have happened if Peter had not listened to that simple instruction? Now, here's the thing. Something small, do this. You might even do it at the beginning, then you forget. And that usually happens. You obey at the start, then after some time you become careless about it. And you're short-circuiting some, and that's the end. There is not going to be another instruction until you've perfected that one and you're walking in that one. And then there will be another one. And then another one. And then another one. And now you're growing. And that's how you become big. Okay? And that is going to be the story of the end time. I'm telling you, it is going to be the story. The people who are going to be distinguished are those who are going to learn how to walk with God. Like this. Simple instruction. Go and do this. Go and do these things which seem to be totally unrelated to what you want. For instance, you want a job. You've been looking for a job and you're desperate for a job. Then he will come and tell you something which is totally unrelated. And you know he has told you. And then in your mind, you're saying, now, how does that have anything to do with the job? And then you don't do it. And you've just short-circuited the whole process. And then 1 year passes and you're still there looking for a job. And the solution came in the form of an instruction that had nothing to do with the job, but perhaps was leading you there. So now, the sensitivity, in the end time, everybody has to manufacture the sensitivity of knowing what God is saying, because that is what is going to distinguish you from the rest of the world. Distinguish you from the rest of the world. You have to manufacture that sensitivity and be sensitive to it all the time and train yourself in it. And I will tell you this, the first thing that will happen is that simple things, like you start speaking something and the Lord says, no, don't say that. And you are in the process of starting, and you just feel something inside, you don't say it. Now, if you disobey that one, like disobedience comes in bits. In bits, so does obedience. So now you've started telling somebody a story. Man, Akena, you know what happened? What? Then suddenly you feel inside you the Lord saying, don't. Now, if you know what that means, if you know what is at stake really, then you'll stop. Then Akena says, what were you telling me? I said, no, never mind. I'm not going to tell you. And it happens all the time. And I'm sure you've seen people do that. Start something and then they stop. Now, there was a time when I thought, that's simple. So you start telling somebody something. And then you clearly feel the Lord saying, don't say it. And then you say it. And then it injures you at some stage in front. But even if it doesn't injure you in a way that you know, as long as he has given the instruction and you felt it and you went ahead and said it, already you're building a lifestyle of disobedience and rebellion. Now, contrary, those small instructions are the ones that build a lifestyle of obedience. And you have this sense inside you that I'm always on the lookout trying to hear what it is that God has to say. And then you become more sensitive, because the sensitivity grows with obedience. Then you become more sensitive. That's what happened. More sensitive. Until now, you can clearly, the reason people even struggle to hear the voice of God is because when it comes, they are not ready to. It's almost like it has interrupted. It's an interruption. You had planned to do your things. I'm planning to do this and what? Then the voice of the Lord comes and what? And tells you not to do it, and you feel, man, it's an inconvenience. Guess what? You're not going to hear it again that easily. Then somebody becomes sensitive to it, sensitive, and then at some stage, every small thing, including what he's going to wear, like he can sense inside him. Today I'm going to dress up like this. And then you go and put on a jacket on a very, very hot day. And then you step out, and by midday it's raining. And people wonder, how did you know it was going to rain? I don't know. I just felt it inside me. I did not feel the rain. I just felt I should put on a jacket. You understand? Then something small, then it becomes more sensitive. Then a lot more sensitive. Then eventually you have a clear blueprint of what actually God wants. And it is thoroughly ingrained in you that you can be planning something, but you're ready to be interrupted by a voice somewhere. And you're ready, and your heart is ready that if he wants to interrupt me, he'll interrupt me. Now, people who are like that are going to be big in this end time, because the Lord is leading an army. And there is no army that does not have connection with the commander. You have to have constant connection with the commander. Okay? And things which everything, people seem to be moving in this direction and so on. And you don't feel that. You don't feel that that's what you should be doing. Now, you see, that's what happened. What happened with Saul is he became insensitive to the command of God and more sensitive to what people think. What will people think? When God sent him to go and kill Amalek and told him, go and destroy everything in Amalek. Destroy the animals, destroy all the people, destroy what? Everything. Kill even the children and everything. Okay? Now, of course, some people try to bring their morality to the Bible and say, why does God kill children? How many have you created? So, but those were the instructions. Then he goes and does a bit of it. Then spares the king. He does not even kill the king. And brings the king as a trophy. You know, it's a nice thing to have a king. So the king is there working for him as a trophy of his, you know, conquest. And God had told him, kill the king. Then also the people, you know, the people said that, you know, we want the animals. Why should we kill cows? We need cows. Why? I mean, so they got the animals, the cows and the sheep and what, and they brought them. And you remember what happened? Samuel comes and says that, have you done the commandment of the Lord? And he says, yes, I've done it. I've destroyed Amalek. Then he says, then what is this bleating of sheep I am hearing? Then he said that, I destroyed the Amalekites, but the people decided that they needed the cows. I'm paraphrasing. So we brought the cows that we may sacrifice to the Lord. Now you see how disobedience is masked up as something. Now suddenly, you know, and remember what Samuel said, that, you know, to obey is better than sacrifice. Okay? And rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. Now, because rebellion is, do you know, and let me tell you, there is a measure of rebellion in so many people. And some of us have gone through it, where you know this is the direction, but somehow you feel, no, I'm going to go in this direction. And you really, inside you, you've rebelled. And it's clean cut rebellion. And it sometimes comes out as half obedience. So it can be, and I've done that before. You feel clearly, do not say that thing. Something that happened, you clearly feel, don't mention it, don't say it. Then you go ahead and say it. Or rather, you feel the unction and you don't say it. But then you wait for the next day and now you say it. And now that's rebellion. Because when it came, you see, there are so many ways, clever ways of rebellion. Now, but you see, let's go to Luke chapter 5, where that story of, the other day I finished early and it felt so good. So today I'm going to do what? The same. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Let me tell you something. I have had a scenario where a door was opened just because I was home and God said, go now, 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 now. Even recently, I had no plan of it. He said, go now, leave home now and go. Then you go, you find the person who is supposed to give you what you're supposed to get, and he's there as if waiting for you, and it is done. Now you disobey, you are going to have to wait a bit longer. Of course, that does not mean that's the end of you, but you know what I'm saying. So he says, nevertheless, at your word. Now, I've been frustrated. Nothing has happened. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon and Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, from now you will catch men. Verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now that's, let me tell you this. From the perspective of Simon Peter, a fisherman, who has spent the whole night trying to catch fish, and then Jesus comes, and then he has, and Simon is here with his brother Andrew, and the other side there is James and John, both of them brothers. And then Jesus comes, and then suddenly they have a lot of fish, a big kill. But somehow Jesus has changed something inside them. And now the fish no longer means anything. Then he says they forsook the fish and followed him. Now, if you haven't gotten to that point in your life where you've learned that the things which mean a lot to people, God can touch you and they mean absolutely nothing to you. Nothing. And you start pursuing something totally different and you even shock everybody. And simple things, and they are not great things. They are never great things that people, you know, you're pursuing something which in your mind is so big. Without this, I'm nowhere. And, you know, I have this, you know, and so on. And as far as God is, as far as you're concerned, the one thing God should do for you is get this thing done. You know, imagine what if Simon Peter was somebody who prays. Imagine at night he's praying, God, today I pray we catch some fish. Then it doesn't happen. Then eventually Jesus comes and there is enough fish to sink two boats. And then they even push the fish to the shore. And four of them, the whole four of them, Simon and Andrew, James and John, abandon the fish and follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now I know that this world is crazy. The things that people value a lot. There was a time there was some businessman who was a very good businessman. And he was my friend. Then one day he would ask me sometimes, come, let's go together. And he's going to a certain office to get certain things done. And me, I was a journalist. So I would go with him. Then I say, why do you want to go with me? Then he said that when I go with you, I reach there and everybody knows you. So it makes life easier for me. Now he's a very rich person. Me, I'm just some guy with a simple salary. This guy was rich, was really rich. But he felt that somehow so we would go to an office and people would say, hey, Kableta, what do you want? And I want nothing. And then I say, I'm with my friend here. Then the friend introduces what he wants and he gets deals because of, you know. So somehow he made me think that being known is a big deal. So I said, hey, so I actually have capital here. So I started valuing being known. And, And you see, the thing is, you even become conceited. If you go somewhere and somebody doesn't know you, you're even angry. How can you not know me? You mean you actually don't know me? That's what I'm saying. Now, somewhere along the way, I had this moment when now I just did not want anybody to know me. What? I did not want anything. I lost interest in all of that completely. Totally lost interest in it. And now I started pursuing God. And I remember I would find this guy and he says, but what happened to you? And I also didn't know what happened to me. To be honest, I really honestly didn't know what happened to me. Because something had changed. The things which I used to value, the things which I used to think the markers of success, suddenly I despised them. And I didn't think there was all of that. So anyway, I also got a bit of leaving the fish which you wanted. And you leave it there and just run away and praise the Lord. But I want to tell you something, that Jesus, when he was calling those four disciples who were fishermen, he told them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay? He used that only for those who were fishermen. He did not tell Matthew, come and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew, the tax collector. So now the thing that you're doing without him is sort of the thing which you are going to do with him. You see, eh? He just twists it a bit and makes it for his glory. You understand? So you have a fisherman, as far as you're concerned, your work is to do fish. Then Jesus used that analogy, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He used that only for those four brothers. I mean, those two sets of brothers who are fishermen. So now you wake up and you find yourself desiring something. And there's something that you really like, and you know it's something of an interest to you and so on. And, you know, and it is, God's purpose is somehow to it. You cannot have, God's purpose cannot be different from what your really desires are. You see, the scripture says he gives you the desire of your heart. You see, eh? So for the most part, people are already walking in it. But they have not yet submitted it to him to make it. So they are still fishermen. And they have not yet become fishers of what? Men. Big difference. Okay? Now, he just comes and says, now, this is what you thought you were doing, but let me give you something totally different. And now suddenly you lose interest in all of this and you follow him. And the key thing is this, follow me and I will make you. Never forget that. Never forget the word, follow me and I will make you. Everybody you follow makes you something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody you follow makes you something. There are people I know who got so excited about Obama and what, and they followed him. Now they are homosexuals. It is not put out there explicitly. But when you choose to follow somebody, he is making you something. He's making you something. So you have to be very careful about, and you see the art of following. All of us have a bit of following in us. It's just that you can find yourself going somewhere without thinking straight. If I'm following this person, do I want to be what they are? Is this the kind of person I want to be like? If the answer is no, why are you following them? So you get excited about somebody, you know, I'm following so and so, and even for. Of course, the word following has been watered down with social media. But where you follow somebody, you are listening to this, doing that, you will become like them whether you like it or not. Because they are making you something. Now, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. Forget about fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I have seen people who were once this and they chose to follow the wrong person. And he makes them something weird. Something totally weird. Because they have told you, this person, the world has told you this person is great. Okay? Oh, this person is great. And so on. And then you follow them. And I used to have those scenarios. Nelson Mandela. So you follow. But the man was a godless idiot. So how do you follow? You know, you have to choose. Like, when I got to know, of course, also the media will tell you, oh, there's this great man called Nelson Mandela. When I got to first find out, what does he believe? Who is he? What does he believe? What does he stand for? When I got to know, by the time I got to know, by the way, I had read his book, Long Walk to Freedom, what? I was getting excited about the whole idea until I got to know who he is. If it was possible, I would have unread the book. Because you don't know what happens. It does not happen by you choosing that I'm going to be like this. No. Once you admire somebody and start following them and start getting excited about them, you are becoming like them, whether you like it or not. So you have to first study and say, this person who I'm following, who is he? What does he believe in? Why is he being, you know? There's a girl whom I found who was crying because there's some chick called Maya Angel. You know her? Some American poet in the category of Oprah Winfrey and all that. Godless idiots. The woman was even old. It's not like somebody died young. But I found the lady, can you imagine? Maya Angel has died. You're here in Uganda. But people can be foolish. you're here in Uganda. I'm sure if you look long, there are people who mean more who are going to die around you. If you really are desperate to cry. Okay? But you're crying about her. So I never even heard about her. So I went and started checking, who is this person who is making people cry? Huh? And then I heard there some apparently powerful quotes from her and what. And I said, but man, people can be. Now, follow me and I will make you. Praise the Lord. Say, follow me. And I will make you. I'm not saying follow me. I'm just saying what the Bible says. Okay? But you are made into something. And it happens down there slowly. Slowly. There's a guy I know who is supposed to be born again. Now, the guy chose to follow Museveni. Now, remember after the 2021 elections, when the man went on a Bachwezi walk in Luweero, holding a stick like this, a stick which is like this. Of course, that's witchcraft. Like a stick which is like this. And now, the guy is supposed to be born again. The next thing, he's going to surveil and also him is holding a stick with a heart. I said, look at this clown. And now somebody has made, next thing is going to be also worshipping Bachwezi. Like, follow people who are serious. Not clowns like that. Okay? Praise the Lord. Like, you think it is just a choice that, I choose. It is not. It is going to shape all your life. All your life is going to be shaped by whom you choose to follow. Praise the Lord. And everything that you value and despise is going to be shaped by whom you choose to follow. So people come and say, they do this. And the things which they are, which they value, you look at them and you despise them. Not them, but the things. Okay, maybe them also, but the things, you understand? So, I just wanted to make this very clear, because the only thing Simon Peter had to do to come from being a fisherman to being a fisher of men is just follow Jesus, follow him around. Jesus was not telling him, now here is how fishers of men do. No! He just followed step by step, and he's becoming something different. He's becoming something different. After 3 years, he was ready. Following him. And remember what Jesus said, that you're already clean because of the words that what? I've spoken to you. Imagine, now, that's how spirit works. The words that I speak to you, you're already clean because of the words that I speak to you. Remember what Peter said? Get away from me because I'm a man of what? Unclean lips. But just by following Jesus, he became clean. And listening to Jesus, just listening to Jesus all the day. Imagine you wake up with him, go sleep with him. What? After 3 years, he says you're clean because of the words that you've what? You've heard. Now, you can become anything because of whom you chose to listen to and what you chose to expose yourself to. Praise the Lord. Now, that is, when you really, really are careful about the direction of your life, you realize that the biggest changes in your life don't happen with your decisions. They happen down there. Where you are, they happen through osmosis. If there's any such thing. That's why the Paul says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts what? Good habits. And he says, not be, because it's very easy to think that you are going to be in among thieves. You talk with them, you jazz with them, and you become you're not a thief. You will eventually become a thief. That's why he says, do not be deceived. Okay? And it is so, and let me tell you, it is so easy. And I to think that you are going to, and I've seen people, you read books and those self-help books. There are books that I have read with when I know this is a book that I want. You know, people don't know the transference of spirits through books. Somebody gives you a book, you read the book, and then you become that person. Praise the Lord. You become that person just by reading, by either listening or reading. And reading, you become that person. You become like them. And you don't have to struggle. If you struggle, you don't know what, like it is not happening. It happens when you are, when you start even thinking. Somebody asks you a question and you say, hey, the other guy is, when I was what? That's the way I was in, when I got born again in the 90s with Kenneth Hagin. Everything you tell me, I would say, what did Kenneth Hagin say? What did Kenneth Hagin? He was inside my head, like, until he was coming out of my pores. Like, everything, what did Kenneth Hagin say? What did Kenneth Hagin say? Like, then you don't know, you become like him. The next thing you know, you acquire these mindsets. You cannot be sick. Why? Because you're listening to. You acquire mindsets of, you start thinking big things, which you have no business thinking. Now, if you cross this point of they left the fish and followed Jesus, and you might not follow Jesus directly, but you follow somebody who follows Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, there is a lady I know who used to say she's a son of Reinhard Bonnke, the great evangelist. She's a Kenyan. She would just be Bonnke, 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 Bonnke. After some time, you know Bonnke, I don't think there's anybody who had found it easier to make blind people see like Bonnke. For him, that one was like eating food. And every minister by there has one miracle, evangelist especially, one which they find very easy to do. Blind eyes seeing, that one he found it very easy to do. Now this person also starts getting blind eyes seeing. And when did it happen? Osmosis. They are there. You don't know when it happened. You just were listening to his tapes, listening to his sermons, reading his books, and what? And then somehow, you also find that you see a blind person, you say, come. Phew. Then the person is seeing. Through osmosis. Now you follow him and he has made you something. Praise the Lord. Anyway. Now, so this, that thing which happened to Peter, of he left the fish. But let me first go back to this thing. There are so many people, going back to the other gentleman, who is supposed to be a billionaire. There are so many people who are standing in the way of so very big things because there is one simple instruction which you will not obey. And the way the Lord is, by his grace, he will give you another one, which will also be simple. Then you also refuse to what? You're waiting for a big one. The big one will never come. That's what he was trying to transmit to me that time. When he told me, did you ever stop to imagine what would have happened? Let me tell you what would have happened if Simon had not obeyed. I tell you what? Nothing. Simon would have died a fisherman, not a fisher of men. Unfortunately, there are so many people who are going to what? to die fishermen. Imagine somebody who I saw in 2010, and even in 2010 he was talking big things. And I saw money. And then now, 10 years later, not 2010, 2015, 10 years later, he's still saying, man, get me a 20K. 10 years later. But you see, there are some people who are so stubborn and they will never stop to take a stock of their lives. How can you not progress in 10 years? Like, at what stage do you take a stock of your life and say, what am I doing wrong? And then you ask God, what am I doing wrong? And then for the most part, and by the way, God can keep some of those things. I remember a certain lady who was saying that she was, you know, some people can't get away with it. She had a Bible study. And there's one person on the Bible study who was not attending. Then she asked, where is so and so? She said, the person is pregnant, and she's having a terrible pregnancy. I think she's not feeling well. So this lady said, she's just lazy. Well, I mean, what kind of people attend things when they are pregnant? For me, even after the day I gave birth, I was still doing my work and so on. So she said a lot of choice words about the other lady. So that passes. You think it has passed. Then she also got pregnant. Then she had a terrible pregnancy. She could do nothing. Now, her previous pregnancies had all been so easy. Just big stomach, birth, end of story. Eh? But now this one became very, very bad. And then she was struggling. She cannot move. She cannot do what? Then she prayed to God. And then he brought back the other moment. Said, you remember what you said about the other woman and her pregnancy? Then she repented and said, I'm sorry, and what? Then the pregnancy became okay after that. Praise the Lord. What was I saying? What point was I trying to make? An instruction. You will ask God, why am I not? Now, some of you even don't even ask him, why am I not progressing? Why am I stagnating? Like you're so comfortable being in the same job for 5 years that you think you owe that. 5 years, same job, same salary. What are you even doing here? If there's any way we could put police outside there to keep you away from here. Like, that is stagnation. Don't deceive yourself. That's stagnation. 5 years, the same salary. That is stagnation. Don't even deceive yourself. Stagnation. You have to ask God what is wrong. Because everything God makes grows. When you go to that job, a child was being born. Now the child is what? He's in primary school. You're still in the same job, on the same salary. The price of sugar has gone up. You have stagnated and even retrogressing. Now, and the reason why? You never stop to ask yourself why. What is wrong? But let me tell you. If you get used to saying, why is this not happening? How can I ask for something and I don't get it? Yet the Bible says I'm supposed to ask and I'll receive. Why am I not receiving this? Why am I? I hope I've not touched somebody in a bad way. I hope I have. Yeah? Because the child was born when you got that job, even has a brother and a sister. And you're still on the same salary scale. That is called stagnation. Now, you have to, you see, if you don't put yourself under pressure and say, but why am I still here? I'm supposed to be improving. You will not know that there's an instruction which God gave you, which is small, never big, small. But it is the beginning of something big. And if you don't obey it, it is not good. Now I'm seeing people. There's somebody I'm seeing here whom I know. They're sitting on an instruction. And this is the second time I'm preaching this in a short time. You're sitting on an instruction which is supposed to take you to the next level. But in your mind, you're saying, how is this going to, what? How is this going to take me to the next level? And you build a lifestyle of disobedience. That's how Saul started. He starts with, I brought the cows. Then what? The next minute, he's going to witchcraft. because he has become accustomed to rebellion. And there are people who you see are looking very pious in church and looking very holy. Huh? They look holy when they tell them to pray. They can't even, oh man. You just see as if they're already in heaven. But there is a rebellion inside them. Rebellion, eh? Because God wants to be in control, like, and for your good. So he tells you, do this, and you see somebody is in total rebellion. So all the issues you have. Now let me tell you this as I come to a close. Don't deceive yourself that your situation will change without you changing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't deceive yourself that the world is going to change around you to make your life better, yet for you have refused to change. So, when God starts moving in your life, he will start demanding certain changes. He might tell somebody, now don't do this, now do this, now, you know, you can't speak like this, you can't get angry like this. I remember I had a problem with temper, a very serious problem with temper. And one day, and I had the sense that God was taking me somewhere, but my temper was uncontrollable. And I used to try to control it, but I couldn't. So one day, I remember that day very well, I was entering that Oasis Mall. And I don't know what I did, but I got into a quarrel with these security guards. I don't even know how you get into a quarrel with security guards. I was in city, I really needed help. And then I blasted the man. Have you ever seen people who they say they shot him? Those guys, eh? Because I was very mean. And I know how to be mean with words. Okay, I knew. I still have a bit of that anointing, but... I was very... The man looked at me, and like he just coiled, and I blasted him, and then I entered my car and drove away. And then as soon as... Because I was entering the parking, as soon as I reached where the parking is, the Lord spoke to me clearly and said, now look at you. He said, now if I had taken you to those big places I want to take you and you go and behave like that, you'd have made an embarrassment of yourself. Then he basically told me, you see, I cannot take you there until you sort yourself in that area. Then I reached there. Anyway, I really needed help. And I'm trying to tell you this because I reached at the... And I ordered for food. And then the waiter came and brought me fake food. Okay, not fake, but a different order. And then I blasted him. Like, okay, that is too much. I was absolutely stupid. Like, that's why I say the biggest disease to heal is what? Stupidity. I blasted the guy. I blasted him. The guy coiled like this. And then when I finished, he told me, excuse me, sir. Just tell me what you ordered and I'll go and change the order. But that wasn't good enough for me. I still wanted to put him in his place. Then when I... Now, unless you've had a problem like mine, you don't know what I'm talking about. Then when I went home, I started asking God, how am I going to... Because I knew I had a problem. So I started saying, how am I going to change? Then I prayed. Now, here is how it all happens. I prayed that God help me get this thing over. Get over this thing. So then this is how it started. When you pray, he will help you. But it will come slowly by slowly. So I prayed one morning and I said, now I want to change. Now help me. By the time it is 11 a.m., unless I'm still in bed, I would have found somebody to get angry with. The only way I'm not angry is if I'm still where? In bed. So, now I came. Now, somebody did something very small. I was about to get angry. Then I felt the Spirit of God saying, there you go again. So I kept quiet and I... You know, it's like I was holding because I wanted to say something, but I knew if I say it, I'm going to disobey God. So I said, let me obey. So I kept quiet, but with a lot of difficulty. Then that day, I think I must have obeyed like 5 times and disobeyed like 2. Because others, I just said, ah. So, then afterwards, I would feel bad. I would feel guilty. Then I would repent. I said, no. Eventually, I learned how to obey. And eventually, I learned how to keep quiet. And eventually, I learned how not to get angry. So, when you see me angry, I'm pretending. I'm just pretending, and yet you're not going to even see me, because you see, my CV on TV when I'm angry at what I'm pretending. But my point is this, and this is a very important point I'm making. If you really want to change yourself, ask God to help you. Then he will help you slowly by slowly. After like 1 month, all the things which used to annoy me, I would just laugh at them. But that's a month of hard work. Hard work. Some people have issues with esteem. You don't feel you deserve the best things and what. I had that also. I didn't believe I'm supposed to drive the best car, what. So I was like, ah, Munang, this is my level. You know, and some of you are like that. You go to a hotel. And I remember they say, we have rooms of 800K, then 500, then 300. Then you say, can I have the 300? Like your mind immediately goes to what? The low one. Because like I call them minimalists. Eh? Like for you, you never think, why don't I sleep in the 800? What do the 800 people have that I don't have? You know, you never think like that. So I also realized I also had the minimalist thinking. Minimalist is when you go for a shoe, they will tell you this one is what? Then you say, let me try on this one. You always go for the lower one. Now you see, if you behave like that, you will never have the best things in life because you've put a grade for yourself. Okay? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And those are the people who say that, for me, any car, after all, all of us will arrive. Any car is what? Is okay. Now, that person who God was teaching about abundance, that's how he does. I tell you also, he taught me about abundance. There was a gym I would go to, and they would tell me, if you come with your towel, you pay this amount of money. If you don't have a towel, you pay this amount of money. So the next day I was going to the gym, I was carrying a towel. Then God told me, but you, eh? Because of an extra 10K, I'm carrying a towel. Then I got ashamed and put the towel there. And what? And went without. Let me tell you, you can become broke like that. Just becoming minimalist. So you reduce what? You reduce. So, then there's a time you give a tip of 50K. Then you even go thinking about it. I think I should have given 20. Then God tells you, but also you. You know, like he teaches you step by step. Now imagine telling somebody, put 3 toilet papers at the side there. Just so that when you're doing, you know what? You have an abundance. And God did that. I know he did it. Like so that your mindset gets used to there is extra. You will never experience abundance until you learn how to practice it. Never. Don't deceive yourself. You have to learn how to practice it. That's why in the Bible it tells them, do this. Don't do, you know, teaching them abundance. Teaching them how to behave abundantly. When you harvest your crops, leave some there for poor people. You're not supposed to. Don't say, then they bring a balance. I remember some guy said that, eh? Have you ever seen the way people tip? Eh? They bring not bad. Eh? Then I learned out people are very nervous with money. I remember one day I met somebody and I'd gone to eat food. Then I met somebody I knew and I was alone. So I went and sat with him. So we started jazzing. So they brought food. We jazzed, the kabozi was good, and we jazzed. Then the waitress, went and brought a bill for both of us. Then the guy looked at it and looked at me like this. Huh? Then told the woman, Who told you to combine the bills? Did I tell you to combine the bills? What? Now, thankfully, now I'd what? I'd reached somewhere. So I just got the bill. I said, no, it's okay. Okay, I got it. And then I paid it and then made sure I give her a big tip when he's seeing. And the guy looked at me like this. Now, he's putting on a suit, but very nice suit. Right? People got because the guy was going to start quarreling with the waiter. I said, I know it's okay. I'll pay it. Praise the Lord. Now, if you behave like that, you'll always have enough. Always have enough. You'll never have more than enough. Now, Jehovah El Shaddai, whom we have been meditating on, the God of more than enough, he teaches you slowly by slowly how to have more than enough. And you get yourself in that place where you're not counting, you know, to the very dot. To the very dot. Some say, how much money do you need? 100K. Then you say, 100K? Withdrawal is how much? 5K. Then you send 105K. No. Send 150. You say, but he asked for 100. Send 150. That's how God will also deal with you. Amen? The God of more than enough. Now, if you are going to be like him, if you are going to enjoy his more than enough, you have also to practice it. Really practice even dealing with other people. How much do you need? I need 70K. Here is 150. The God of what? Hey, now, you know, we behave, you know, like it says that 4:17. Be like God, who speaks things that are not as though they what? As those they are. And by the way, let me tell you, you can miss out on something very big, because you missed a test. A simple test. And I've told you this before, those who are following me. One Friday, I go to eat. I have only 50K. Yes, okay, they are very smart today. What is it? Is everything okay? You are not renowned for your smartness. Anyway, that is just a joke. Eh? Now, so I go to eat after Friday, after preaching here. Not here, but somewhere else. Then I have food, and I have only 50,000 shillings on me. So I pay for the food, and then I tell the waitress, you can keep the balance. But that, I don't have any coin whatsoever on me, none, zero. So as soon as I said it, I felt, but at least keep back a kate. And I almost said, no, but I said, no, that's what I felt inside me. So I said, you take it. So I went home. It was a Saturday. And on Saturday, usually I sleep in very late. So I slept. Then I woke up, then somebody called me and told me, I want to see you. I work from outside the country. I want to see you. I said, no, I don't leave home on Saturday. I said, please, I'm going back to where I work. Please come and I see you. So I said, okay. So we went. I reluctantly went to see her. And she gave me money, thousands of dollars. And I knew if I had not done that, I would not get this. That's the truth. The instruction is going to be small. Small. Take that direction. Do this. There's a time I was, like, when I started practicing this and being very sensitive, even when somebody crossed my mind. And I'm coming from somewhere. Then a thought crosses my mind. Who I've not been thinking about. Then I think, why am I thinking about this person? I remember it was Thursday before Easter. Then I say, why am I thinking about this person? Then this is somebody who I used to go to the same church with. So I get on the phone and call her. And say, how are you? What? I said, I'm fine. I say, I don't know why. Okay, cut a long story short. She had a young kid. She was home. She had no food whatsoever. She hadn't eaten all day. Her kid was hungry. She was hungry. God just put her in my mind. I called her. She told me, man, I don't know. I didn't know. I have nothing to eat. So I said, okay, no problem. I'm going to send you money. Then I realized that, like, God had, you know. Then another, all these things, bit by bit, you're walking. Now, every time you do something like that, there is a reward somewhere. You see, you see people just, you know, then another time I'm coming from also having a meal, then I feel very strong urge not to pass. I'd parked somewhere here, but I feel a strong urge to pass there, the way I would pass there, yet my car is here. So I feel a very strong urge to pass. Then when I'm passing, a certain lady says, greet me. Sibiotiano, say why I see her child. So I just sort of walk past her. Then when I walked past, the Lord said, she's the reason I wanted you to pass there. She's stranded. She has no whatever. So I turned back. I'd walked a distance when he told me. I turned back and give her money. And I saw like she was ready. You know, people are there praying to God. And he's looking for somebody whom he can use to help them. Now that woman was there with her kid, stranded. She had no transport. She was stranded. Now you find that God is the one even who took me to eat there just for her sake. You see, eh? So God directs you go and eat there. Now from there, now pass here. Then now he sorts her problem. And now he's in the business of sorting everybody's problem. But now, are you going to be that person who is sensitive enough to him? So that if there is anything you can do, God says, I have my person there. There is somewhere, there is a woman who is crying to God, my child has nothing to eat. Okay? And now God can, you know, can he or would you pass and just look the other side? Okay? Now, then you see somebody the next day is blessed and blessed and blessed. But this is the process. Small instructions. That's the process. Now, if you ignore it, you'll ignore it, and then you'll wonder why there's frustration. Okay? All the time. So, praise the Lord. Now, I even thought that time and said, now, if I hadn't listened to God, this woman, when I was coming from eating, God, I am sure God would have found a way, but it would have been difficult because not so many people listen to God. Praise the Lord. But you're one of those who do what? Yes, you should be. Because there are not so many people we can count on. Somebody is stranded, then he puts this thought in you, then you pass somewhere, you know, and then you go and praise the Lord. Oh, let me tell you, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Even that thing, you turn around to go and meet something, God is involved. There is somebody there whom he wants you to meet. Maybe who is going to help you, not this time you helping them. Maybe they are the answer. And I've seen this, even the other day I saw it. I needed something. I am in a certain place. I do not know. I'm a bit stranded. So this man comes to me. I won't say the place. But this man comes to me and says, hey, come later. How are you? I said, I'm fine. What? So we start talking. We start conversing. Then we converse. We make jokes and what. And then he says, okay, I'm going to my office. I said, okay, nice meeting you. So he goes to his office. Then I go where I needed help. And they refuse to give me help. Then I say, no, I have to live here with what I want. Then I say, somehow I move, I go to the boss to say these people have to help me. And guess who is the boss? That guy whom I just met. So he comes and says, hey, what are you doing in my office? I said, no, I need your help. When I was talking to him, I didn't know. I thought he was even just some, you know. And then the guy says, hey, no, it's okay. Then even calls and says, please work on this person very fast. Now, God is in the business of connecting. Praise the Lord. How many connections have you missed because you're not sensitive? Sensitive. Wake up and so now tomorrow you wake up and you say to Lord, today I'm sensitive to any instructions you might have for me. And you leave home saying I am sensitive. And then you go. It might not come that day, but it might come another day. And then there is something that he wants you to do. And that changes your life completely. Just one thing, one act of obedience, like Simon Peter, changes your life completely. Completely. Praise the Lord. Hey, I've even overshot. Glory to God. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Any sick person? Any healthy person? Who is this? Whose mom? Grace's mom. What's she suffering from? Come here. She's suffering from what?
Cancer, stage 3, cervical.
Cervical cancer,
yeah.
Stage 3.
Yeah.
Ah, she's healed.
Yeah.
Eh? Mm-hmm. She's healed. Now this one, if we can heal stupidity, we can heal cancer.
Yeah.
Eh? Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? What's her name?
Angela Joan Mayanja.
Angela who?
Angela Joan Mayanja.
Yeah. Okay, Angela Joan Mayanja. Where is she?
She's now home in Entebbe.
Home where?
In Entebbe.
Yeah. This one I feel that we should use a point of contact. You get something like... Hmm? Hey, your scarf. This scarf. Yes, let's use this. Hmm? Bring it. Okay. Now we are going to pray for Angela Joan Mayanja. Eh? I can already feel she's healed. Eh? She's your mother. Eh? Yeah. Praise the Lord. How old is she?
How old is Uganda? 60.
She was born in 62.
Mm.
So she's 60 something years. 63 years.
Yeah.
That's too young. She still has another 60.
Hey.
Eh? Praise the Lord. She's still very, very, very young. Glory to God. How many people believe she's going to be healed? If you don't believe, walk out now. I'm tired of it. Okay. Okay, now all of you point your hands towards. No, you leave. I will pray for it myself. Some of you don't believe. Just pray in tongues. Every time that we come
together in His name,
keep on praying in tongues.
There is also power and strength. Let us continually offer sacrifice to Him. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For you inhabit the praises of your people.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we speak health and wholeness to the body of Angela Mayanja. In the name of Jesus, we speak health and wholeness. Come in Jesus' name, and I rebuke that cancer. You cancer in her body, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Cancer, I command you in Jesus' name to come out of her body right now. And I speak health and wholeness, because cancer has to bow down to the name of Jesus. Because you have a name, your name is cancer. And your name, the name of Jesus is greater than your name. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I command you, cancer, to come out of Angela Mayanja. And I speak health and wholeness and complete restoration upon her body. In the name of Jesus. Say, everybody say amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
She's healed. Amen. Just go and... Eh? Don't tell her anything. Just give her that and she touches it. Don't tell her what. We don't want her faith involved. Eh? Yours is enough, because she will doubt. Just give her this and put it on her. Then you come and tell us. And then you come and give us a testimony. Eh? Amen. Okay. Are there any people who got jobs? You are supposed to be. Eh? Come. Who else got? You got a better job? Eh? Anybody else? By the way, let me tell you. Some of you, the instruction you're standing in the way of, and I can sense this for somebody, is shift house. Shift house. if you've been feeling for a long time that you should shift house, shift house. That will be the beginning. If you, I'm talking about, will be the beginning of your financial transformation. So don't stand in the way of that. Tell us about your job.
So I'm going back to National Housing in a more strategic position under projects.
Where were you? Were once there?
I was once there as a projects accountant, but at officer level. So I'll be going back still as a projects accountant, but under the projects implementation unit, which is like a specialized department trusted with all project aspects. So I served my notice today, and I'll be.
Basically, it's a promotion. Eh?
It's a promotion, yes.
Okay. Because Orzungu Runji project what? For farmers like us. Mr. Tuama, did Rego go? He's still around. Okay. What does he do? What's the word used? Organization or what?
Capacity building.
No, not capacity building. These are the things. Eh? But Kasana, they are going to pay you for it. Anyway, praise the Lord. Eh? May the Lord bless you there and lift you up. Eh? Amen. Anybody still is looking for a job? Eh? You have a testimony. But man, okay, huh? Tell us.
When you declared thingy for jobs, I also believed God for an additional contract to what I've been doing. So I was given one. Yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord. There's some. Okay, who still wants a job? Stand up. Stand up if you are looking for a job or for a better one. Huh? Stand up. Okay. You disobeyed last month, but now this coming month, you have to obey and get a what? This coming, today is what? By the end of next month, all of you should have jobs. Can you receive that? Can you receive it? Say we receive it. Say we receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Eh? And even if whatever it is, even business, for instance, Eric is not a job. His is, for him is what? He's into business. Praise the Lord. Okay, God bless you. Wait. I feel that I should take the offering today myself. You get your offering. Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for each and every person that connects here this day. Now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a special blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, I pray for doors opened. I pray for promotion. I pray for multiplication. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because they enter a new financial realm. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabo Road to connect to the anointing upon the Watchman. You can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.